completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavata Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is... The highest truth is... There it is. The highest truth. It's quite a statement, huh? Now we're just, the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva, in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Purport. Religion includes four primary subjects, namely pious activities, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally, liberation from material bondage. Irreligious life is a barbarous condition. Indeed, human life begins where religion begins, when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life. These are common both to animals and to human beings. But religion is the extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. In the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature, or, in other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected. This is the situation in modern civilization. Man is thriving economically, so at present he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant. Men are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in religious places which were erected by their forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification. Often when one is baffled in the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. I'll read thus far today. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shakti Putra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tas Yagajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto yasya prathita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Bandeham shri guru shiyatav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsa shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghuna tanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna taitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Having very quickly gone through the first verse of Bhagavatam, how many days did you take for that? 6 days. Whatever it is, it's quickly. Even if you took 6 years, it's quickly. What to speak of in 6 days. So I've very quickly gone through the momentous first verse of the Bhagavatam. We move on to the second verse, which is also momentous. Momentous in the sense that these first three verses of Bhagavatam, they are of very special import. We can't say that any verse of Bhagavatam is more or less, but still these first three verses of Bhagavatam are quoted often, and they set the tenor for entering into and understanding the whole of this Shastra. It's maybe comparable in some ways to the on the back cover of a paperback, you'll find something. This is a great book. They won't say it so so simplistically like that, but a teaser to attract people to read the book, to buy the book, to read the book. So this these first three verses, they should be learned by all, especially those who want to be known as brahmanas. Actually, no one should want to be known as a brahmana, but at least those who are aspiring for, or who have accepted the sacred thread, which is indicative of someone who is fit to be a disciple, trained in spiritual knowledge. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the summary of all spiritual knowledge. Brahmanas in traditional Vedic society, Brahmanas, they were known as a Rigvedi Brahmana, Samavedi Brahmana, Yajurvedi Brahmana, Atharvavedi Brahmana, or Dvivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi. They were known as belonging to, or of having memorized one Veda, one of the Vedas, or two Vedas, or three Vedas, or all four Vedas. But in the modern age, it's Jiva Goswami is, and here directly in the Bhagavatam, it's right in this verse, Vyasadeva, having compiled all the Vedas, he recommends that actually no need to read them all. It's quite a sensational statement. I'll get back to that. But he says to study this Bhagavatam. So those who are brahmanas, if you can't learn, we can't learn all the Vedas, but we can't learn all the Bhagavatam. We can't. Most of us don't have enough memory power or inclination even to learn all the Bhagavad Gita, which is much shorter than the whole Bhagavatam. Gita is complete in 700 verses and Bhagavatam in 18,000 verses. But at least these first three verses, of course, if you're just beginning to learn verses, then the shorter verses, Anustup verses of Gita, the simplest meter, that in itself may seem to be a bit of a challenge, and what to speak of these longer verses. But as you get used to learning verses, you can. These first three verses of Bhagavatam are essential for those who are to be brahmanas, students of bhakti shastra and teachers of bhakti shastra. So please learn these verses. You're in the best place in the world, at least outside of India, for learning shastras is ISKCON San Diego, due to the presence of, guess who? Who is, no need to say who, is walking shloka, not just knowledge, but relishing shlokas at every moment. So it's a very good place. And also very willing to teach others. So those of you who are living here, you can please take advantage of this. So many times it happens, devotees pass away and they think, oh, should have spent more time with him. So, not wishing you to pass away very soon, but as you now reach 65 years, it's not likely that you'll be here in another 65 years. So you never know. That's also true. But Most likely. So please take advantage and study bhakti shastra, shlokas you can study. And of course the meaning also. This is quite a revolutionary statement. After glory, in the first verse of Bhagavatam, establishes the subject matter. In the subject matter is clearly Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are various ways in which this verse can, the first verse I'm talking about, can be translated or unpacked. And Srila Jiva Goswami has translated, he's found some secret meaning in it to describe Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. All the words are explained completely. Did you have that there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Could you please give it to me, because I don't have such a memory.
Okay. It's great. Give me a few seconds.
All right. So, for those who are on the standard of the third verse, which the Rasik devotees, or those who are thus qualified to enter into that, the Bhagavatam establishes Krishna not only as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as Rasik Shekhar, the king or the best of all these persons who relish and are always absorbed in rasa. I'm just trying to remember. Rasika Shekha. Advitiya Nandatmaja Rasika Shekha. As Krishna is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As Advitiya Nandatmaja Rasika Shekha. So these are Aditya means there's no second person like him. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj and the best of all relishers of rasa. So that's there also, if one can find it. But for most readers of Bhagavatam or hearers of Bhagavatam, we have to remember that Shastra is traditionally heard by most people and not read. This is new for the modern age, that people read privately. Otherwise, the system is to hear. Generally, the certain learned brahmanas, they will specialize in studying Shastra. And they may specialize in studying. Specialists usually specialize in one shastra, because I mean, if you take one shastra, Bhagavatam, it's not a small shastra, and there are many specialists in North India in Ramcharitmanas, which is considered shastra. It's considered canonical by its many adherents. Many votaries. So such a person, he'll make his life just studying of one shastra and explaining it to others. As Srila Prabhupada said, we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. So they will explain it to others, and others will get benefit from the tachinvan supatan vicharana para. From those devotees who have themselves heard Bhagavatam, who regularly recite it, and who apply their intelligence to understand it. So others who are not specialists, others who may be, whatever they may be, shopkeepers or housewives, but they will benefit by hearing the Bhagavatam from others. So for most people who take to the study of Bhagavatam, they will, either by hearing or reading or a combination of both, they will understand the first verse of Bhagavatam as understanding Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this second verse takes a polemic or almost pugnacious. You know all these words? What does that mean? Polemic means controversial, taking sides, argumentative. Pugnacious literally means punching. So it's a heavy dose. Dharma projita, the word projita means completely. You didn't find that? You have it? Yeah. Okay, all right, let's backtrack a little bit. Yeah, I'll just read the translation, and then you can get to your. It's wonderful reading the how he derives it also.
This is actually Vishwanath, I think.
It's Vishwanath, is it? Yeah. Okay, I should have known.
Based on jiva.
Yeah. Based on jiva. Okay.
So the second explanation.
But where is it?
It's right there at the top. Second explanation.
Oh, okay.
That's the translation of the whole verse.
No. Okay. Second explanation. Yeah, let us meditate on Krishna, who is known as Satya, who, through his abode Mathura and by revelation of his form to his devotees, destroys ignorance concerning himself, whose body, though appearing to be material to demons, is not temporary at all, who, after appearing in Vasudeva's house, went to Nanda's house, knowing how to cheat Kamsa, and who, knowing the appearance of his devotees, Prema in Vraja, remained there because of his own people, though he is in all cases independent, and who revealed that the cows and calves were actually the supreme Brahman to Brahma by his will, which bewilders even persons such as Narada. So that's the Rasik explanation of the first verse. And the second verse.
The third explanation is all Madhurya Ras, but that's it.
All right, yeah, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. I was actually thinking of that one. We have here dharma. The first verse, the first word of the second verse, dharma. So dharma, that is sacred, pure, that is the principle by which pious people conduct their lives, they aspire to that. And then the next term, projita kaitava, cheating. Cheating is an adjective here used to describe dharma, which is, how can dharma be cheating? Cheating is in itself adharma. But it's described, and then projita, completely rejected. So it's quite revolutionary. And later, yeah, and then in the verse he says, Kingva paraihi, what is the need of anything else? So, Vedyam vastavam atravastu. This is the actual subject of the Vedas. So he's here, Vyasadeva, who is referring to himself in this verse, says, after having compiled all the Vedas, and overseen the Puranas, all different verses, he says, actually, I spent all my life writing all this down. Actually, just throw it all out.
Clear the hard drive.
Format the whole thing. Blank slate. And this is all you need, actually, is this. So it's completely revolutionary what he says here. So by saying that this Vedyam Vastam Achavastu, this is Shivadam Tapa Trayanmulam, this is the actual auspicious subject matter of the Vedas, it uproots the threefold miseries. So indirectly he says that the Vedas don't do this. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita this Chaigunya Vishayo Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. He tells Arjuna that the Vedas mostly deal with the three modes of material nature. Be transcendental to them, Arjuna. Later again, we find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaischa sarve ahameva vedaha. I am the actual goal of knowledge in the Vedas. So it's somewhat of a mystery how the Vedas appear to persons who desire to be cheated. Then the Veda Kalpa Taru, the desire tree of the Vedas, they cheat such persons. And for persons who are actually serious to understand the purport, then the actual message of the Vedas is revealed. The actual message of the Vedas is Vede Ramayana Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Chamadecha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. In all the Vedas, beginning, middle, and end, Hari is glorified. But for the Krishna is glorified. But to understand that is not possible simply by one's own study of the Vedas, unless one is Lord Brahma, who studied all the Vedas three times. And then came to the conclusion, he already knew that before he started, but he, for further verification or for the sake of others, he studied all the Vedas three times and came to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, all religious activity, which is, Srila Prabhupada translates this, Kaitava Dharma. He translates this as religious activities which are materially motivated. And he begins the purport by stating that religion includes four primary subjects. So here Srila Prabhupada is referring to the four primary subjects are dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So they're all included within dharma. Prabhupada writes here that religion includes four primary subjects. That means dharma includes four primary subjects, namely pious activities, that's again dharma, economic development, artha, satisfaction of the senses, karma, and finally liberation from material bondage. This liberation from material bondage is considered the highest of the four goals because it's beyond this world. But in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, commenting on this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he quotes this second verse of Bhagavatam, and he states that he refers to the Kaitava Dharma, the cheating Dharma, and he says, Tarma de mokha bancha Kaitava pradhan. Among all the types of cheating, the chief cheating is the desire for liberation, because jaha hoite Krishna bhakti hoi antadhan. Because by such a desire, Krishna bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, simply vanishes. Which is particularly referring to the desire for liberation without service to Krishna, because we find in other Vaishnava sampradayas, they also state that their goal is mukti, but their understanding of mukti is to go to the spiritual world and serve Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he emphasized so much that our aim is to serve Krishna, that he doesn't doesn't even consider liberation from this material world. Even the desire for liberation from this material world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that as an impediment on the path of pure devotional service. I mean, this is clearly the highest teaching. When most religious processes all over the world, they aim at supplicating a superior power for the sake of enjoying in this world or enjoying in the afterlife. That's their whole. That is religion. Religion means to pray to God, oh, I was looking up prayer on the internet, so I came across something, and there was some instances of prayer and how God answers your prayers. So I saw one, how one couple in Canada, their TV set broke down. And whatever they did, it just wouldn't work. And then they thought, okay, let's pray to Saint someone or other, who's the patron saint of broken TVs or something like that. And instantly the TV came back. The power of prayer. It's pathetic. It's really pathetic. This is cheating religion. So, the idea that we'll supplicate a higher power, that is considered religion. But beyond that, considered higher than that or better than that by the snooty mokshavadis, or those who want to merge into the impersonal. They think, let us get liberation from this world. Forget all this praying to God and all this kind of stuff. We'll get liberation from the world. So, as I said, they're rather snooty. Do you use that word in America?
Yeah, it's a good word.
It's looking down your nose. Like, what's the arrogant, you could say? Conceited, or something like that. Vain, yeah. So they consider themselves much higher and much better than others, because we no longer pray to any God for any material benefit. We're beyond that. Now we've understood we are God. So such persons, they desire to merge into the impersonal absolute. But that is rejected here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even rejects the idea of liberation, unless there is, that is acceptable if there is the possibility to serve Krishna. Diyamanam nagrithnanti vinamat sevanandana. This Kapila Dev says that these types of liberation, this sarupya sarshti samipya sayu chatvam ityuta, diyamanam nagrithnanti vinamat sevanandana. These different types of liberation that are offered, Kapila Dev says, my devotees do not accept that unless there is the possibility of serving me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he emphasizes service to Krishna, a loving service to Krishna, without any personal desire. So if we think that this material world is a place of suffering, of course it is a place of suffering, that is the beginning of our spiritual life. And we find descriptions in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna and throughout the higher level of scripture of how this world is a place of suffering. In the lower level of scripture, there are inducements to perform pious activities with the prospect of enjoying life by doing so. You give away cows in charity and you can go to heaven. Dig wells and you can also go to heaven. You have to give charity, otherwise you suffer in future. So in this way there are various inducements. Krishna himself speaks that this world is a place of suffering, dukhalayam. So that is a beginning of spiritual life, going beyond simply asking God for this and that. But beyond that is the desire to serve the Supreme Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thinks that to even desire to be free from this material world is a kind of personal desire. Therefore we should aspire only to serve Krishna. When whatever happens, even if he keeps us in this material world. So this is the highest level of devotion, which is propounded in this Bhagavat Purana. And the exemplars of that are the devotees of Vrindavan and especially the gopis of Vrindavan. So that will be understood. Gradually that will be understood. There are many stories in the Bhagavatam. I remember years ago, this must have been 1977, I was going around colleges with the sets of Bhagavatam in India. And one professor we came to, he was very dismissive of Bhagavatam. He said, "Well, what this? It's all just stories." Stories are there, but they are instructive. We see how in Bhagavatam, we see how Dhruva, he had material desires, and later he came to understand that the highest truth is to serve Krishna without material desires. We have the life of Prahlad Maharaj, who was completely absorbed in Krishna without any material desire, even to be protected from his highly abusive father. The ancient example of extreme child abuse in the case of Hiranyakashipu. But Prahlad, he wasn't concerned. So all these examples are there. And later, Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami takes the whole theme of the Bhagavatam, how the higher and higher levels of devotion to Krishna, where there's no personal desire in the devotees that Sanatana Goswami explains, but there's an intensifying of, within the description of different devotees, there's an intensifying of total one-pointedness in serving Krishna up to the level of Vrindavan. So that will be explained here, going beyond cheating religion. Cheating religion means if there's any personal motive. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us. And most surprisingly, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va, jagadisha, kameye, mama, janmani, janmanishvare, bhavatat, bhakti, rahai, tuki, twai. To not desire wealth, followers, intellectual ability, beautiful women, not even to desire liberation, to only desire service to Krishna with no personal motive whatsoever. But surprisingly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't just teach this to a few select people, but he made this available to everyone. Whereas religion generally, religion for the masses, it means go to church, go to the temple, go to the mosque, be good, lead a good life, give charity, be respectable, and you pray to God and God will look after you. And spiritual life is for a very few. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhye. Religious life is for every civilized person, but spiritual life, where one wants to go beyond birth and death, beyond being respectable and good and religious in this material world, that's typically for a very few. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that available to everyone so that even householders, they can pray like that. So that's a great gift of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even in household life, which is in the higher levels of Vedic knowledge, is condemned generally as being the source of mundane attachment in this world. Even Shukadev Goswami also speaks about the griha medhis, who are simply interested in working hard in the day. Diva chathe hayarajan. They're simply working hard in the day. And at night, they're sleeping and engaged in sex indulgence. They're simply griha murhadhi, Yudhishthira Maharaj described himself. Of course, he's an exalted Vaishnava, but he described himself as someone, householder, with foolish intelligence. So it's generally not expected that householders will be on a very high level of spiritual advancement. Some rishis are the householders. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the highest level of spiritual detachment from this world and intense devotion to Krishna. He's made a mass movement out of it. Most unlikely. Most unlikely. Anyway, Hare Krishna. There's so much. We need some special dispensation to time stretching. That's for Krishna. When he has his Ras Leela, one night becomes a night of Brahma in length, but to discuss all these subjects is not a subject for short discussion. But anyway, we'll finish there, unless there's any question, comment, or protest. Yes, please.
This real quickly, this idea you mentioned, what the time teaches, and is expressed here, that no cheating religion, even up to the point of desiring liberation. Pure bhakti is simply serving Krishna, favorably with his pleasure. Right?
Yeah.
Now, but in order to engage in that, or even begin the process of devotional service, one needs to be motivated. And you can't be, it can't just be an intellectual thing. One has to be motivated, and ultimately, to hear about the glories of Prema, and how you dive into the version of bliss and all these things. But that's also an overall motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't there kind of a disjunct between the overall understanding of what you're aiming for, your daily effort to do a selfless, completely selfless service? Is there something going on there?
You mean we attract people with the desire of enjoying at the highest level?
Yeah, even the devotees. I mean, what is this thing about, Krishna Bhakti is about the one.
Enjoy the bliss of Krishna Bhakti. Well, I'll relate an experience I had in the association of Srila Prabhupada. It's recorded in the Science of Self-Realization, where Mike Robinson of the London Broadcasting Corporation asked Srila Prabhupada, happened to be in the Darshan room when in Bhaktivedanta Manor with about 100 devotees. It was an open Darshan and the interview was going on. So Mike Robinson asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the purpose of life? And the reply really surprised me, because Srila Prabhupada said, to enjoy. I thought, wow. I thought Prabhupada would say to become free of material desires, to get freedom from birth and death, or to perform austerities, to po divyam putra kayena. Prabhupada said to enjoy. And then Srila Prabhupada went on to explain that in this material world there is no happiness, and that real happiness is in service to Krishna. So your question is that we have to motivate people to take up service, and we motivate to Krishna, and we motivate them by telling them that you'll get the highest happiness. Yeah, we don't say turn off. What's that? This that's quoted in Prabhupada Lilamrita: turn off, tune in, drop out, turn off, and tune in, or something like that. It means to. What is it? Tune in. Turn off and drop out, and drop a little yellow pill on your tongue. So we don't say not to enjoy, but we'd say that you have to learn how to enjoy in a manner in which we do not take the position of the enjoyer, if you're going to get more philosophical about it. Yes, Krishna consciousness is pleasure, but it's the pleasure that comes from selflessly serving Krishna. So, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati, yes, this It's definitely the pleasure for the heart, and we should aspire for that. And it comes in the next verse of Bhagavatam also. Yeah, that this is the drink this nectar. Pibata Bhagavata Rasamalayam. Go on drinking this nectar. So we say, yes, enjoy like this. That to enjoy in such a way is not illicit. But for those who are on the very highest level and not discussing this philosophically, they're just there, they're there in Krishna Leela. For them, their only thought is how Krishna will be happy. And this narration of the gopis willing to take the dust of Krishna's feet on their head and go to hell to relieve their headache, to relieve not Krishna's headache, which I don't know where that's from, but Prabhupada also told the story, so it must be bona fide. That really exemplifies the mood of utterly selfless service. This also, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he also made the comment that Mother Yashoda, if she sees one drop of perspiration on Krishna's forehead, which is some slight annoyance to him, just to remove that, she's willing to undergo unlimited suffering in hell. Not that there's any question of her going to hell, but the whole idea how the principle which we are taught, Krishnarte kila cheshta, all that we do, all our endeavors should simply be for Krishna's sake. That is seen in the extreme in the residents of Vrindavan, and especially the gopis. So, ontologically, there's nothing wrong, and that may be even encouraged to be happy in Krishna's service, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we have to understand what that happiness is. That happiness means to be happy in serving Krishna. And even we find the gopis, they chastise Krishna, or they feel, I will die without Krishna. So it appears as if they're interested. They have their own outlook different to Krishna, but it has to be understood that actually everything they do is simply for the pleasure of Krishna, and that even their desiring to be with Krishna is due to their desire to serve him. But then we also find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praying in the mood of Srimati Radharani that Adarshanan maramahatam, even if karotuva, even if you make me broken hearted, I only want to see you and be with you and serve you, but if that gives you, if that's what you want, then don't show yourself to me. So it's very difficult for me at this level to understand, or for anyone except a devotee on the very high exalted level to understand this, but we can discuss it and glorify it and aspire to follow in that mood. This all develops right out of the second verse of Bhagavatam. If we're going to speak about Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu, the actual subject matter of the Vedas, then we can immediately, of course we have to go through all the different cantos first, but if we're going to get to the essence of the essence, then that's what it is. Certainly, as neophytes, we experience pleasure, yeah.
That we realize that if we contemplate that, because we don't have the ability to stay on the path, on the side path, but that you can realize that you're happiest in Krishna consciousness when you completely forget yourself. And you can do so in Krishna for the name service to the devotees, or the Krishna to the guru. You've forgotten about yourself. As soon as you think, am I experiencing this now? Oh, and then it's gone.
Yeah. To forget oneself is the highest bliss. And we're completely absorbed in serving Krishna. then we experience the highest bliss. As long as we're thinking how I will be happy, then it remains elusive. And when we're just absorbed in how to serve Krishna, then we don't even think about whether we're happy or not. We're just absorbed in bliss. Yeah, you had a question?
In other ages, people are supposed to be purer than in Kali Yuga.
In other ages, people are purer than in Kali Yuga, yes.
So why don't they also get the Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement?
Why don't they also get Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement? Well, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is a special dispensation. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness is available to everyone. But even in other ages, that's described that people, they may not be much inclined to that. Just like in Satya Yoga, people can perform all this difficult yoga and meditation and austerities, and they will think, well, what's this chanting of the holy name? It's too easy. They may not be so much inclined to it.
We also see that even though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it available, it's not in everyone, far from it. Very few take to it, and even of those who take to it, and how many seriously take to it, and not far from it.
Yeah, not many are taking to it, but we are hopeful that it will catch. We are praying that it will. More people will recognize it. That's why we're going out and distributing these books and doing Harinam Sankirtan. Well, we could say that we're doing mass preaching activities for two reasons. One reason is to find the few rare souls who will take to it. Another reason is to benefit the whole of human society with the hope that they can also take to it. Many, many can take to it also. So we're searching for rare souls, and we're hoping for mass transformation also. That can happen also. So who else? There's some other... Ah, yes, please.
Is the Dharma Pajika, is it the same principle as Krishna speaks
to Sarvadharma? Sarvadharma, yeah, that's another important point. There's so many things to say here. Krishna says, you give up all kinds of bogus religion. So that is taken on further here. There's another, there are so many things to say. One thing, you'll find the word atra comes up three times in this verse. Atra means here or herein. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this atra, if you see the institution he developed in Sridham Mayapur, Sri Chaitanya Math. And just a little bit up from that is Srivasangan and Advaita Bhavan. And a little bit further up is Yogapit, established by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said that the first atra is at Chaitanya Math, here. The second atra is at Srivasangan, and the third is at Yogapit. Yeah, well, not now, if at all. So, leaving you with that brain puzzler. Hare Krishna. Srimanta.
No.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada stated that. Hare Krishna.